Hey there, welcome to another edition of What Barry's Talking About from Barry 360. I'm Dan Blakely. On this week's program, where does all that money go the United Way of Cinco Muskoka collects? Who's benefiting? It's certainly not going to waste. Four of Ontario's largest school boards are taking the likes of TikTok, Snapchat, and Meta to court over the impact they're having on students. The local public board will be jumping on this as well. Remember Play It Again Sports? It's coming back to Barry. And how are the Barry Colts doing in their first round OHL playoff? We get the conversation started after this.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
School boards have had enough of what they call the distraction of social media platforms like TikTok and Snapchat, so much so that four of Ontario's largest school boards have announced they're launching a $4 billion lawsuit against them, claiming disruption to student learning and the education system. Jody Lloyd, chair of the Simcoe County District School Board, telling Barry 360's Ian McLennan it will be doing the same.
So was the Simcoe County District School Board approached to be a part of this lawsuit? And if you were, are you on board?
Yes, we were aware of the litigation, the mass tort litigation that was being considered. And it is the intent of our board to be part of that mass tort litigation. We are just in a different time and place in the process and to date have not issued an action.
So why does the board feel it's necessary to join this legal action?
Yes, there's very strong evidence coming forward that these platforms have been very, very harmful to our youth. And it affects their brain development, it affects their mental health and their well-being. And it's not related to just what goes on in school. These platforms are being used by these students for hours every single day. And the consequences are being felt within the school system as we try and support students and the resulting consequences. And, you know, there's evidence that's also available that, you know, some of this has been done intentionally and with Matrix and different logarithms to, you know, encourage students and to create it as an addictive factor. So there's many consequences to this. And you know, we in the school system are working and supporting these students and we are trying to help them, but we need additional resources. And you know, it's felt that we need to hold these organizations accountable for what they have done.
You talk consequences, but let's have some examples. What are they?
Well, we're seeing record levels of anxiety, record levels of mental health issues. We are seeing, escalation in behaviors among youth and students in schools. And, you know, an example I could give to illustrate this is, you know, we now have 24 social workers in our school system in Simcoe County. We could use a lot more. Prior to the development of social media, you know, we didn't have social workers in school.
So you attribute most of these issues to the advent of social media?
I would say yes. We do believe that the needs that we're seeing are a direct result of this compulsive behavior, and you know the evidence that it's very damaging to developing brains And so, you know, and it's been done intentionally and very targeted with youth. So, you know, this is a way for us to respond to this.
Okay, isn't social media used in the classroom? So where's the balance here? I guess I'm asking, what's good social media?
Well, we use, cell phones are used in schools as learning tools when we need to access something on the internet or resources, but social media itself is not used within the classroom.
Are students allowed to have their cell phones with them in the classroom?
Yes, there's nothing that says they can't be on their person. We discourage their use in the classroom, and we encourage their use for educational purposes only. And so, you know, there's further thought and discussion regarding that and how we could best move that forward and make any required changes there. But that's also very challenging at this point in time due to the addictive nature.
Now, Premier Doug Ford was quoted at an unrelated news conference in Ottawa the day the lawsuit by those four large boards became public. He basically said he felt the lawsuit was nonsense. The boards were not going to win against these social media giants, and they'd be better off putting resources into the kids rather than legal fees, which I guess he means the classroom. School boards have said there wouldn't be any costs incurred. So how's that even possible?
That is correct. We are moving forward on this litigation on a contingency basis, so there is no cost to the boards. So we are not wasting taxpayers' money. We are not using it, taking education dollars out of the classroom. And the comments made by the premier were not accurate. So, there's a lot of consideration gone into making these decisions based upon the information we have and what we know.
Okay, the board wins its case. What does it do with the funds?
Well, that would be decided specifically at the time, and if these actions are successful, you know, I personally would want these funds to support students and to provide the resources, the additional resources that we currently need.
So at the end of the day, what's the board's goal here? I mean, against these social media platforms, these parent companies, what's the ask here?
We want them to acknowledge what has taken place and the detrimental effects it's had. We want them to recognize that there's a significant social cost to this and to what has happened. And that, you know, really schools are the ones right now trying to support these students and to educate our students. And, you know, it is becoming more difficult and more challenging. And we certainly need more resources to support students and to meet their needs.
A representative from the Simcoe Muskoka District Catholic Board has not been available for comment on this. We hope to hear from them soon. Not a week goes by that someone in the local chat groups isn't asking if there's a play it again sports nearby. They were a huge deal when my kids were playing sports in the 90s and early 2000s, an inexpensive way to get them started to see if they actually liked it. There was a play it again in Barrie once upon a time, and there will be one again, perhaps by April 15th, on Commerce Park Drive near the Cineplex Theaters in the South End. Igor Mustashkoshvili Jr. is bringing it back. He's with Barrie 360's Will Konkin.
What is your story? How did you get connected with Play It Again Sports?
I was actually looking for opportunities in Canada, and I looked into franchises. So I bought like a bunch of books and started reading about franchises. And I have a business background too. So one of the unique things that you look for when you're looking for a business, you're looking for uniqueness and distinctiveness and in a business and competitiveness. And Play It Again is a very different model from the big boxes. We sell, we buy, we trade, which is unique. And that what made me attracted to it. I was also a customer for Play It Again Sports. Then I knocked on the door of the owner and said, "Oh, you're selling? Well, I'm buying." So that's how we got started. And then later on, I saw the potential of Barrie, and say, "Hey, let's jump into that wagon," and here we are.
Yeah, for those who don't know, how does the store work? Maybe kind of just give me a little breakdown of how it works.
We buy, we trade, and we sell new as well, not only used product, and everything goes. You actually can trade your used quality used. Obviously, it has to be in good condition, and we're gonna evaluate the product that you bring to the store. We'll make you an offer, and once you accept that offer, you got the cash to buy anything you want in the project in the store. So is it apples, pears, bananas? Everything goes. So you don't like it, like you start snowboarding. Oh, I don't want to snowboard anymore. I want to ski. So you bring me your snowboard. I'll give you an offer. And next year, you get yourself maybe new skis or used skis. But obviously, there's going to be a price and a discussion. You take it or you leave it. It's no, you don't have to.
Definitely. And then sustainability and recycling seems to be a foundation about what the store represents. Why is that important?
Yeah, it's very important, especially in our days, because plays a huge role. All the plays agains in North America, they are in the it's something like 2 billion items have been already traded. So these are 2 billion items that didn't go to landfills across North America, and in Canada we have many stores too, and we're actually helping a lot the environment. So all these skates and tennis rackets and don't go to landfills. Actually, go back to the community at affordable prices, so they can be reused. And so there's a factor that everybody wins: the environment, the society, the community, and you don't break the bank, right?
Exactly. Barry used to have a played against store. So why are you bringing it back? It seems like that's almost connected with it. This is a market you were mentioning before.
Yes, exactly. There was a store here. I don't know the details, the whys and because it closed. But I see Barry as a huge potential, as one of the fastest growing cities in Canada and definitely in Ontario. So there's a lot of synergies there to have a store like Play It Again in this market. We believe that we can help a lot the community and working families to have access and have their kids play the sports they want when they want.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like there's a lot of sporting being had in Barrie, a lot of hockey, soccer, a lot of things. So it seems like that it's perfect for here, right?
Exactly. We're always looking for markets that are focused on sports and Barrie has a huge hockey base. They have their OHL team, excellent team. The place is always packed, so there's a huge hockey culture and baseball culture, and soccer is also coming in strong. So we believe. And we're right next to the slopes, and so I think there's a lot of things going on here that will make the store thrive, and again attract people to bring their sports gear and trade it at the store.
Where is the store located, and when will it be open?
Oh, the store will be. We depend to opening the store. We're waiting for our permits, so we hope that these permits will come out sooner. Later, and the little store is located at 71 Commerce Park Drive, right in front of the movie theater in the south end, so you can't miss it.
With inflation, prices overall, this is a great option for people, and we were talking off air that this really connects the community. Maybe touch on that again.
Yes, it's very important to offer opportunity and an avenue for working families to come to the store, bring their used equipment. It's spring, so everybody's going to be cleaning their garages. Bring your sport equipment that's sitting there in the garage, getting dusty. Bring it to my store. Get paid cash on the spot, or get store credit and buy anything you want in the store. So that's a great opportunity for everybody to get moving, get their kids playing sports without breaking the bank. I think that's a very important component of the business.
Mark it down, April 15th, Play It Again Sports on Commerce Park Drive in South Barrie. What Barry's Talking About is a weekly podcast featuring the best Barry and Simcoe County have to offer and more. You can get caught up and make it easy to keep up in the future by subscribing to What Barry's Talking About through any podcast distributor. Still to come on What Barry's Talking About, how United Way Simcoe Muskoka picks its projects to fund, and how are the Barry Colts doing in their first-round playoff with Oshawa? Now this.
It's cool to care.
It's a well-known fact blood transfusion saves lives. It's also a well-known fact that the world relies on voluntary unpaid donations to fill the need for blood. The need for blood never ends. Canadian Blood Services in Barrie is calling on you to help save a life. Please consider donating today. Appointments are mandatory and must be booked in advance. Book today at blood.ca, through the Give Blood app, or by calling 1-888-2-DONATE.
Cool to Care is brought to you by the Peggy Hill Team. Keeping it real all the way to sold. Reach out now at peggyhill.com.
It's Cool to Care with 107.5 Cool FM.
This is What Barry's Talking About from Barry 360. I'm Dan Blakely. United Way of Simcoe Muskoka has served up $2.1 million in funding to several community projects and individuals over the next few years. CEO Brian Shelley gives us some of the background and the criteria for issuing funds through our Ian McLennan.
What are some of the organizations that are receiving this money, and how do you make such a, I would say, a challenging decision?
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity to discuss this. Absolutely, it was a very challenging decision. Our funding decisions are all made by volunteers of the community, so it's not staff members that make the choices. We certainly vet the projects, but we had three times as many projects with requests for three times as much funding as we had available. And that was with us increasing our funding. Over our last round of three-year projects, we committed about $1.8 million. So we've increased that to $2.1 million, thanks to the generous support of our donors. So really, really tough decisions we had to make. But at the end of the day, it's about funding projects that we will believe will have long-term systemic effect on our community and help move folks along that continuum from poverty to possibility and or support their mental health and social inclusion. So with the seven projects, each of the projects has three or four community agencies attached to it. So it's not one agency that we're funding in all these cases. It's always a community effort, a collaborative effort of multiple charities. And so we have a project that's being led by Camp Hill Farms, but they're working with Lakehead University and with the Simcoe County Community Builders and other partners. And that's a project that's, for example, helping to provide pre-employment training to those who may be unemployable in the area of construction. And then the end product of that will be that they're going to be building affordable housing as well. So that's a two-pronged project, right, where you're getting not only the end result of the housing, but probably more importantly, we're also developing the skills with some folks who at this time may be unemployable.
And the trades, of course, are huge right now. And this one is specific to rural Simcoe County, correct?
That's right. Yeah. So it will be training folks from the Barrie area primarily, but the project will take place just south of Barrie. Okay. In South Simcoe. Yeah.
Now another one too, arts immersion for mental health. Is that linking arts creativity with a person's mental health in terms of, you know, getting better or progress?
That's right. Yeah. So that's a project that's based up in Orillia. Although with all of these projects, we know that there's spillover into all of the regions we serve. And that's about a project taking the arts as a therapeutic way to reintegrate folks who have had a mental health crisis back into their community. It's about filling gaps, filling funding opportunities of projects that aren't currently being filled, it's about filling the gaps within our community and bringing together the right partners to do so.
And we'll touch on one other too, the Mobile Youth Wellness Hub, because you cover a wide swath of territory. Let's not forget Muskoka.
That's right. Yeah, we're really excited about this. So that's a mobile youth hub serving rural communities in Muskoka with a focus actually on serving Indigenous young people. And so through that mobile youth hub, which will be a mobile home, fully equipped with program equipment and staffed, with appropriate staff, we'll be bringing not just recreational programs to rural Indigenous communities, but also therapeutic, social services into those communities as well.
Now we talk about gaps. Where are they greatest? What do you find as an organization when you go through the groups that apply for this money?
Yeah, so we identified four key areas, and I don't think there'll be surprises to anyone. Number one, housing, right? We know that we are currently in a housing crisis, and so projects that we can support that either create housing and or keep people housed is number one priority. Second priority, and it's just as important, frankly, is income stability. We need to make sure that folks are making enough money that they can sustain housing, that they can buy their food. And to that end, our third priority is food security. And again, we prioritize projects where we think we can move people to a place of being food secure as opposed to funding emergency food support. That's not to say that food banks aren't important. They're incredibly important. They're doing great work. But where we're trying to focus our funds is how can we move someone to a point where they don't need to access a food bank. And then the fourth area of focus was around mental health. And I think coming out of the pandemic, we know that that people's mental health is struggling. We know especially that's for those living in low-income households as well as youth. And so we've really tried to focus our funding efforts on those communities as well.
And you find too, it's been said, I think, that if you can get someone with a roof, get a person housed, then you begin to work on those other issues or needs that need to be dealt with.
For sure. I think we have to understand that when someone's living in crisis, they're in survival mode. And when someone's in survival mode, they aren't thinking beyond tomorrow. And so when we can take care of some of those core pieces, like making sure that a family is housed or a family is fed, then they can start moving forward on some of those longer term priorities that help them sustain a healthy, strong life.
And when you look ahead, this will last over the next 3 years. For other groups that apply, can they reapply again? Or, I mean, just how are the funds divvied up like that?
Yeah, so this go round, we did make a decision that agencies who'd received the funding the previous 3 years could apply. And that was, I mean, the goal is that these projects should be self-sustainable by the end of 3 years. However, if we look back on the last 3 year cycle, which ended in October of 2023, 2020 to 2023 was anything but normal. Right. And so we do have at least one project that we are funding again. That's a project in Muskoka headed up by the YWCA around providing wraparound supports to folks in living in poverty. Our goal is at the end of 3 years that these projects are self-sustaining. They don't require the United Way funding so that we can then move on and fund other agencies at other projects.
And this is another example when people ask, well, what are my dollars going toward to when I donate to the United Way? You've got seven solid examples here.
Yeah, this is certainly our largest pot of funding that's supported by our donors. It are these seven projects. We also have an urgent needs fund, our Youth United fund. We're looking at launching another fund in the next year that I'm excited to share in the coming months. But certainly this is our biggest commitment. And when donors ask where their dollars go, this is where they go. And it's I'm proud that these are community collaboratives that wouldn't happen without United Way donors' support.
You can find out more about the work United Way of Simcoe Muskoka is doing at uwsimcoemuskoka.ca. The Barrie Colts trail in their playoff series with the Oshawa Generals 2-1. They took the first game. A controversial whistle robbed them of a chance to tie game two with 8 seconds left to play. And in game three, they lost 5-1. Here again is our Will Konkin with Colts writer and broadcaster Gene Pereira.
In the midst of playoff hockey for the Colts, they're down 2-1 in their series with the Oshawa Generals. Won the first 4-2, then a tough loss in the second 5-4. Some controversy in that one with a goal callback, and then lost 5-1 in the third match. Gene, what's the feeling around the team after these three first games?
Yeah, I think after the first two games, even with the tying goal disallowed in that 5-4 loss, that would have gave Barrie a 2-0 series lead, possibly. I think it was pretty good, but it was a real rough one in game three back on home ice. Oshawa completely dominated. I was shooting Barrie 19-4 in the first, and the Colts had a goal called back as well in that first period, which was a clear offside. So I just think they kind of struggled to kind of get it back, and Oshawa took advantage the rest of the way and sailed to a 5-1 win. But there's no doubt that heading into game four, the Colts are probably going to have to really shake this off and get back to the game that they played in those first two games.
Yeah, what went right for the Colts in those first two that they could maybe replicate going forward?
I thought they did a really good job of kind of weathering the storm when Oshawa did pressure. They were much better at breaking out of their zone. And as well, I thought, offensively, they did a good job of driving to the net and getting to the net and creating some havoc in front of Oster. And I think that'll be important to get back. It's something that they didn't do last night, that they didn't do in game three. So they have to get back to that. And, you know, again, I mean, this is a Barrie team that when they're skating, you know, they can be a difficult foe, and they have to get back at Bell. They just seemed really slow last night, and it proved costly.
How do you think the goal call back in Game 2 affected the team in Game 3?
Well, yeah, you wonder. I mean, obviously a young team, 8 seconds remaining, it looked like they had tied the hockey game, and, you know, that would have been a huge momentum shift and what would have gone to overtime and, you know, an opportunity to go up 2-0 in a series. And you got to figure that there's a good chance of that with Oshawa all of a sudden feeling the pressure. But, you know, it was a tough goal. It was a goal that should have counted. And, you know, it seemed to kind of linger a bit into this Game 3 with the idea that I think, you know, that Oshawa's first goal early on also had a lengthy review, and it ended up standing as a goal on what was another review of an possible offside. And then, of course, Cole Baudouin's goal late in the first that would have tied it at 2. And, again, the review there clearly showed that Patterson was offside. So it was the right call. But I just think mentally for the Colts, it just seemed like it really affected them. And, you know, they just weren't the same team. And then, of course, they ran into a bunch of penalty trouble, especially late in that first, early in the second. And that Oshawa power play, again, 3 power play goals. And, you know, and that was it.
Maybe touch on the OHL's change in goal review. Was that because of that game too?
Yeah, I think clearly. I mean, the timing of it is kind of shows that. And, you know, it's a situation. Look, I mean, you know, you see some of these reviews, and they're tough calls. I mean, they're not simple calls. You know, there's a lot of close plays, whether it be trying to determine an offside or whether the whistle went, you know, before the puck had entered the net and so on. I mean, you know, these are all tough situations. But I think what the officials wanted is, in that case, they're kind of relying on the guys up in the box to make the call. And I think the officials clearly want that in their hands. And, you know, they have, you know, they have the technology now to do that and with the iPads and so on. So I think they can do that and use that, where now the officials are going to actually review it, and they're going to make the final call, which I think is a better and improved system. So, you know, credit to the league for kind of recognizing that, you know, it was a real, you know, costly mistake, unfortunately, for the Barrie Colts. But, you know, moving forward, that they're trying to address it and with a better format.
What do you think the Colts need to do to have a chance going forward?
I think they got to get back to what they were doing in those 2 games. I mean, moving their feet. You know, again, this is a team that when they skate, they're a tough foe for anybody, and they just have that energy, and they didn't look like they had that on Tuesday night. They were just slow, and you know, it really wasn't a Colts team that we were familiar with, and they have to get back to being that team that we saw in the 2 games. I mean, Oshawa's a heck of a hockey club. They're the big favorites, but this Barrie Colts team has been proving all second half that, you know, they're not an easy out, and I think they have to get back to that, and I think they stand a good chance of, you know, tying up this series if they do.
Game 4 is tonight at Saddlin, Game 5 Friday in Oshawa, then if the Colts extend it, back in Barrie Sunday, and Game 7 in Oshawa Tuesday. We'll see what happens. Thanks as always, Gene.
Thanks, Will.
And that's our program for this week. Thanks to Ian and Will for their input, to Matt Ladder for his technical expertise, and to you for listening. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe to What Barrie's Talking About, rate it, review it. You can also keep up with What Barrie's Talking About on X at Barrie360, on our website, Barrie360.com, and there's our daily Kickstart podcast available from any streaming service and on our website. I'm Dan Blakely. Hope you'll join us again next week.